Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Foreign Service Immunities Act Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On November 2, 2016, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Venezuela v. Helmerich and Payne International. Helmerich and Payne International Drilling Company owns a subsidiary that, in 2007, contracted to provide Venezuela's state-owned oil corporation the use of Helmerich's drilling rigs. When unpaid invoices to the state-owned company surpassed $100 million in 2009, Helmerich refused to renew the contract and prepared to remove its equipment. Employees of the Venezuelan corporation, along with the Venezuelan National Guard, blockaded the equipment yards, and then-President Hugo Chavez issued a decree of expropriation. Helmerich sued in federal district court under the expropriation and commercial activity exceptions to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. Venezuela moved to dismiss, and the district court granted the motion with respect to the expropriation claim, but denied it with respect to the commercial activity claim. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit reversed, holding that because the expropriation claim was neither insubstantial nor frivolous, the district court should not have granted the motion to dismiss that claim, but should have dismissed the commercial activity claim because the subsidiary's commercial activity had no direct effect in the United States. The question before the Supreme Court is whether the pleading standard for alleging that a case falls within the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act's expropriation exception is more demanding than the standard for pleading jurisdiction under the Federal Question Statute, which allows a jurisdictional dismissal only if the federal claim is wholly insubstantial and frivolous. To discuss the case, we have Donald Earl Trey Childers III, who is professor of law at the Pepperdine University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Childress.
On November 2, 2016, the United States Supreme Court heard oral argument in Venezuela v. Helmerich & Payne International. The court granted certiorari to resolve the proper pleading standard for alleging an expropriation claim for purposes of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. The FSIA establishes a default rule granting foreign sovereigns immunity from the jurisdiction of U.S. courts. That grant of immunity, however, is subject to a number of exceptions, such as the expropriation exception. That exception provides jurisdiction over certain claims involving property rights taken in violation of international law. The Supreme Court will resolve whether a plaintiff needs only to plead some non-frivolous facts that could show an expropriation to survive a motion to dismiss, or whether a plaintiff needs to plausibly allege that an expropriation occurred in violation of international law. The factual dispute in this case relates to oil drilling operations in Venezuela. The plaintiffs, Helmerich & Payne International Drilling Company, an Oklahoma-based corporation, and one of its subsidiaries, Helmerich & Payne de Venezuela, sued Venezuela and two state-owned corporations for breach of a series of oil drilling contracts. Among other things, plaintiffs alleged a taking of property in violation of international law based on a decree issued by Venezuela appropriating oil drilling rigs. Because the plaintiffs sued a foreign sovereign immunity is an issue. Under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, foreign sovereigns generally cannot be sued in U.S. courts unless one of the Act's exceptions is applicable. The plaintiffs relied on the Act's expropriation exception, 28 U.S.C. Section 1605A3, which permits lawsuits against foreign sovereigns to proceed in U.S. courts when, quote, rights and property taken in violation of international law are an issue, and there's a commercial connection to the United States. Venezuela asked the district court to dismiss the case. Venezuela argued that the expropriation exception did not apply. The district court agreed in part with Venezuela, but the Court of Appeals allowed the plaintiffs' expropriation claims to go forward. The appeals court reasoned that the company's claims could survive a motion to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction because they were neither wholly insubstantial nor frivolous. The appeals court stressed that when ruling on a motion to dismiss, there is a difference between jurisdictional analysis and success on the merits. It noted that the threshold to survive a motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction is significantly lower than the threshold to survive a motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim. The appeals court explained that a motion to dismiss an FSIA claim for lack of subject matter jurisdiction should be granted when, quote, the plaintiff has failed to plead a taking in violation of international law or has no rights in property in issue. During oral argument before the U.S. Supreme Court, the justices were focused on two concerns. First, the justices were sensitive to the foreign relations implications of the case. In particular, they worried that applying an exceptionally low standard would permit more lawsuits to go forward against foreign sovereigns. Given that foreign sovereign immunity is based on considerations of reciprocity, the justices were also worried that more lawsuits against the United States in foreign courts would be permitted to proceed in response to a permissive U.S. rule. Second, the justices were also concerned that a heightened pleading standard would problematically conflate the merits with jurisdiction and basically require the trial court to decide the entire case as part of its ruling on jurisdiction, leaving nothing to be decided on the merits. The lawyers for Venezuela, supported by the United States as amicus, urged the court to adopt a heightened standard. In FSIA cases, Venezuela argued, the trial court must determine whether it has jurisdiction to decide the case at the very beginning, before it exercises any other power over the foreign country. Making that determination, Venezuela emphasized, requires a more searching inquiry than whether the claims are simply frivolous. In contrast, the companies urged the justices to rule that courts should approach cases against foreign sovereigns the same way that they would approach any other jurisdictional question. But that brought a rebuke from Justice Kennedy, who pointed to the need for, quote, extreme sensitivity to foreign relations concerns. Later, Justice Kennedy observed that foreign countries would not want to be labeled as violators of international law, as they might be if a case were allowed to go forward. While no clear majority for either standard seemed obvious from the questions, Justice Breyer explained that for him, the dispute boils down to a practical question. At what point in the process should judges decide whether an FSIA case can go forward? Justice Breyer's solution seemed to be to give district court judges discretion to make the jurisdictional call, but with a presumption that a judge should make that call as soon as possible in an ordinary case. Justice Breyer's discretionary approach seemed to be in part a response to district court judges feeling constrained by Supreme Court precedent that requires jurisdictional determinations to be made in advance of the merits. It will be interesting to see whether this precedent, largely advanced by the late Justice Scalia, continues into the foreign sovereign immunities context. Chief Justice Roberts was also concerned with the practicalities of the case. How often would the timing of the district court's ruling actually matter, he wondered. The United States insisted that the timing of the ruling does make a difference and that allowing lawsuits to go forward without first determining that the substantive standards of the FSIA had been met would be a, quote, real affront to the foreign country being sued in a U.S. court. The United States cited an expropriation case against Russia that had been allowed to proceed in a U.S. court, resulting in a fine against Russia of $50,000 per day. That prompted Russia, the United States explained, to initiate an expropriation case against the United States in a Russian court, imposing the same fines against the United States. In light of the oral argument, it is unclear whether the court will adopt a bright-line rule, and if so, which one, or a more case-by-case approach, as urged by Justice Breyer. In fact, this case may be a poor vehicle for resolving this important question. Questions of jurisdiction and the merits cannot be resolved in a legal vacuum. Here, the questions that were left unanswered were the relation between the pleading standard and the substantive law of expropriation. In fact, the real issue in this case is whether, for purposes of determining if a taking in violation of international law has occurred, Helmerich & Payne de Venezuela is a national of Venezuela under international law, and whether Helmerich & Payne International has standing to assert a taking in violation of international law on the basis of Venezuela's expropriation of its subsidiary's property. Since the United States Supreme Court did not grant certiorari on these questions, it complicates the court's ability to resolve the pleading issue in this case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.